It's Monday, June the 12th, and you're tuned in to the TNIB podcast. I'm Vince.
I'm Anthony.
And this is the Geek Chic Culture Show, where we talk about all the cool things in the world. Yeah, guess what, guys? This week is E3, so we have a slightly modified show for you this week.
Yep.
In lieu of big news topics, and we got a couple of things we're gonna spit out, but in addition to this podcast, we're throwing up separate special editions of E3 that focuses on each of the big press conferences that are going around the show.
Yep.
We'll try and be timely with them, although I believe with their last one, that might be a bit troublesome.
Yeah.
Just because of the time it's happening and the location.
And what we're doing. And
yeah. But we'll let you know as it happens. So for this episode, mostly we're just going to be talking about our weeks and what we've been up to. Maybe a little extended edition of that since we got more time to kill that way. And just, yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
We're good.
So, are you going to open it up with anime?
Let's open up with anime.
You have a pick.
I do have a pick.
I'm like, why are you looking at me? You got it. It's your pick.
So, I've been playing a lot of Overwatch over the weekend. Or, I mean, this week.
So has everybody.
So has the world. And I was looking up more to the community. Mm-hmm. You know, community has taken a huge liking to Overwatch with fan art and love videos and memes and whatnot.
Porn.
Yeah, that was out before the game, actually. Took a look at that. I was like, whoa, this is...
Jeez.
At first, I thought it was going to be, like, a little shoddily put together, but I'm like, oh, that's right.
Source filmmaker.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, whoa. Oh,
that's too much.
This went a step too far, but, yeah, cosplay, whatever. But, like, there's this thing in the, like, we'll call it the weeb world.
The weeb community.
Yeah, where...
The worldwide weebs!
Oh, man. Something they love to do is they like to take normal, regular, we'll say westernized or western-born franchises and turn them, and try and give them anime openings.
Yeah.
And it's great, because it basically takes anything to an anime opening. Mm-hmm. A part of it's also kind of depressing, because it really highlights how generic... And I guess
cookie cutter.
Yeah, and identical all anime openings are.
Yeah,
but some guy put together an Overwatch one, and I believe he uses the song from A Prejo of Blue Steel.
Okay,
and it's fantastic. It is really well done.
If I knew nothing about Overwatch,
yeah,
and you showed me that,
yeah,
I would be like, cool. When's the anime coming? When's it airing?
Yeah, like, yeah. Yeah, no, that's what it looks like, and it makes me really sad that there is no anime.
Yeah.
That said, I did end up watching all the available cutscenes, or films, or CG.
Oh, the short films?
Yeah, short films.
Okay, so there's the Black Widow Tracer.
Yeah.
Widowmaker Tracer. I keep saying Black Widow.
Yeah.
There's Widowmaker Tracer. Yeah. There's Genji Hanzo.
Yeah.
And I don't know what else there is.
Genji Hanzo. There's Winston Reaper.
Oh, okay, I haven't seen that one.
And then there's Soldier 76.
Okay, I've seen the Soldier 76 one.
Yeah. There's also the initial cinematic one where they're in the museum.
Okay.
And then there's the... I know there's another one, but I can't quite put it together.
All right.
I know they showed off. So I watched all of those. There's a couple small ones they also have. I did a little research on some of the characters. And the last thing I need to do, I think, is just read the comics.
There's comics?
Yes, I didn't realize there was comics.
Whoa.
But the cinematics, I'm actually really surprised how well done they are.
Okay.
They're really good, and it's kind of sad that there is no accompanying fiction,
mm-hmm.
whether that be a single player or just a short animated film.
Yeah.
I just want to know, like, why, who's bad, who's good. Like, there's so, like, if you go on the Overwatch wiki, like, each character has huge amounts of details for their backstory, and I'm like, where are you pulling this from?
There was a bunch of rumors that came out that Overwatch was supposed to be a different game.
So the rumor I heard is it was the canceled sci-fi MMO from Blizzard.
Oh, okay.
And they just took all those assets and moved them over.
All right. Yeah, so that was the thing, is everyone is talking about, like, they have all this backstory, they have all these cutscenes,
yeah.
They have all this thing of, like, we are the Overwatch, we have been... We need to protect the Earth again because, like, robots are taking over.
Yeah.
But we're going to fight each other. Like, that makes
yeah.
no sense.
Yeah.
Right? And so everyone's like, these are just probably assets from, like, yeah. a different game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, but it shows up a whole lot. Like, you know Soldier 76's origin costume?
Yeah.
Like, that's his actual costume before it becomes 76.
Okay.
Like, he used to be the commander of Overwatch, and then something happens, and he puts on the mask. Now a soldier.
He's got a slight scar on his lip, and he's like, I can't let anybody see it.
I know. I don't know what's wrong with him. But yeah, no, Overwatch. It looked the anime thing. Cool.
I think Overwatch is going to come up for a little while longer.
Oh, yeah. Did you have anything you watched?
I didn't really have any picks this week. I've just been pumped for E3, which you can hear about on our separate videos that you'll find on the YouTube channel.
Yeah. But since we're still on Overwatch, been playing more Overwatch, duh.
Mm-hmm.
Loving that game.
Any more notable plays of the games? Or discoveries?
So I posted one on my Twitter feed. For the longest time, I didn't realize D.Va had huge knockback with her booster plus her melee.
Yep.
And, like, it's huge. Mm-hmm. Like, it's stupid huge. It's bigger than Reinhardt's knockback. It's bigger than Lucio's gun.
Yeah.
And it's bigger than Pharah's concussion blast.
You go far.
Like, you fly. And so all I've been doing is just really taking advantage of environmental kills.
Okay.
And so I was on Hanamura, I think, after I was on the defending side. After they capped the first point, I was being chased out into, like, the edge ways of something.
Yeah, but, like, a Zara and a...
And a soldier. 76 and a Genji.
Okay.
And I went out the door to the side, and I immediately just hung out beside the door.
You hit it in the corner.
And I waited for them to come out. And two of them came out at the same time. Boost, punch, knocked right out.
That's funny.
And I got the play of the game for that. Unfortunately, it happened to, like, a little too much longer after that. The Genji came after me. The Genji actually jumped off himself.
That's funny.
And I shot him, but he was able to wall climb back up. By then, my charge was back.
Okay.
And so I just flew, like, right around and knocked him off.
That's funny.
And then he couldn't get back up. So there's that.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, no, it was good. I saw some real interesting stuff while I was playing. One of my favorites was this thing called Surprise Bastion. Bastion's up against the wall. And he can only, and, like, the wall's positioned somewhere in the middle of, say, the playing area.
Okay.
So Bastion can only cover one side of the wall. But he's also teamed up with a Mei, and the Mei player watches the other side of the wall.
Yeah.
But if the Mei player sees too many people or is in trouble, she'll come back to the Bastion and put a wall under him. So nice he wall. Rises up over the wall so that he can shoot people.
That's really funny.
And it's too good.
I really want to try out this combo.
Yeah. And then I played a little, I finally got to play a little bit of Hanzo.
Okay.
I used to be super impressed and Hanzo would, like, headshot me from across the map.
Yeah.
But now that I've realized he has a really generous hitbox.
It is. Are you just destroying people with Hanzo?
It's amazing how you can, as long as your arrow is somewhere in the vicinity
of a head.
Yeah.
Okay.
It'll headshot.
That's
good. And it's kind of disheartening.
Does it feel cheap?
It totally does. Because you could just aim into a corner where you know someone's peeking out.
Okay.
And even if they're not peeking out, if it's close enough, like if their head's...
Oh, the hitbox is that wide?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's real wide.
That's some magic arrows, man.
Yeah, so like...
Well, I guess in that cinematic cutscene, he was like curving arrows and shit, so...
I guess so. Also, his... I didn't realize this. His home... Oh, no. The scatter arrow.
Yeah.
There's headshots on that.
What?
Yeah, like you can get headshots from the scatter arrow, which I thought was super cheap.
That seems really like... I guess if they're giving generous hitboxes, like, I just wonder how that's being calculated. Because if it is a random bounce,
yeah,
like, okay, sure. Yeah. But if they're, like, somewhat homing in on people, yeah, then that seems cheap.
Yeah, so, like, there's two things in that game that just frustrate me the most are Hanzo's scatter arrow and the getting killed by the random junk rat.
Grenade, where someone's just lobbing grenades across the map?
Yeah, and you get killed and you're just like, what?
Come on!
Yeah. Those are the most annoying things, but lately most times been given to Widowmaker. I really like Widowmaker.
She's really good.
I
heard she's insane on the PC.
She is.
Like PC people are just destroying
fools. You can do things on the PC you can't on the console.
Okay.
Like Widowmaker, you know her grappling hook?
Yeah.
So have you seen how people use it to launch into the air?
No, I didn't know you could do that.
Like if there's a ledge, right? But it has to be like a really high ledge and like the angle for you has to be steep.
Okay.
If you go to the ledge and you hit the grapple, you connect right before you get to the top of the ledge, press the jump button,
yeah,
and it'll detach and you'll keep carrying momentum.
Oh.
And you'll fly up there. If you have a mouse, you can immediately look around and shoot. That's how people kill.
That's crazy.
On console, you can only jump is X, but moving is the right stick.
Yeah.
So you can only move after you've hit jump.
Oh, okay.
So it's a bit slower to do.
Okay.
And you're not as fast.
That's still crazy.
But it's great for just being mobile, like super mobile.
That seems super useful on like the Egypt map.
Yeah, so you can be like, I play like Spider-Man. So basically I just go like, if I'm in danger, I just jump off and I find another ledge.
Oh, okay.
And then I just hop on there.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But yeah, no, Widowmaker's good stuff. She's too good.
My yeah. favorite's still May. Just freezing people.
Headshots. Yeah, May is Bay. She's
Bay.
Super annoying. Super annoying.
Oh, look. Oh, you hooked me, Roadhog. Ice.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm just going to chuck my ult. Ice.
Mm-hmm.
Man, May's the best.
You put Bastion in, if Bastion's in a corner, just cover him with ice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, man. Or if he's in a corner in a house, you put it under him, and then yeah. the wall kills him.
Oh, that's right.
Right.
Oh, okay. I got the best kill. So, it was a payload map or something, and I was defending, and Pharah was there, and I was D.Va,
okay.
But I didn't have my mech suit.
Yeah.
And D.Va jumped up to kill our tank,
yeah.
and she summoned the missiles.
Yeah.
And I totally did this by accident. I ran under her, and I summoned the mech.
Yeah.
And the summoning came down and crushed her.
Like Titanfall yeah, crush. That's yeah. awesome.
And I was like, you can do that?
That's so cool.
Yeah, so.
You get to play a game for that?
No, I didn't. Lame. So that sucked. But yeah, no, Titanfall is good.
Titanfall is good.
Titanfall's too good.
Incoming Titanfall.
Yeah. Overwatch. No, those are my Overwatch stories. Still loving that game. Still going to keep playing. Loot box mentality sucks, but.
Keeps you playing.
Yeah.
It's the hook.
Yeah.
It's the lure.
Like, man, you get such trash.
Or when you do get something good, it's like for a character you never play.
Yeah.
That's what happened to me.
Yeah.
I got my first orange skin.
Oh, what was it for?
It was for the Soldier 76.
Oh.
And guess what skin it was? Night Ops. It wasn't even like the Daredevil one. It was just like, look, I'm a Black Ops soldier now.
I was gonna say that sucks.
Whatever.
Yeah, like I got a couple more oranges, like orange rares, but they were all like victory poses and stuff. Okay. And I'm just like, who cares?
Alright.
Yeah. I got no more stories with Overwatch.
Okay. That was your week? You're just playing Overwatch?
No, I did, I know I did something.
I did a bunch of things. You want to think about it?
Oh, no, I remember now. I was in a David Attenborough mood.
Okay, you just watched Life?
I watched his newest series.
Okay.
Called The Hunt.
The Hunt?
Okay. So I think it's a 7-episode series, and the whole... So I guess with Life, it's like embracing life or just
yeah.
the cool
life. Like, here's all the weird things about Earth.
The Hunt is all about predator and prey.
That's cool.
And all the different tactics predators use to hunt.
Do they have tactics that prey use to get away?
Yeah, they do.
That's cool.
But they always end it with the predator winning.
Oh, okay.
So you're like, all right, cool.
Well, I want to be a cheetah in this situation.
Yeah, and they're like, oh yeah, cheetahs, they're fast.
They're really fast.
They showed off like polar bears hunting.
Okay.
Like sea lions. One of my favorite ones is the birds of prey. Like they showed this thing called a harpy eagle.
Okay.
Think of this. Wingspan's 2 meters.
All right. That's huge.
Yeah, something how big that bird is. This thing hunts monkeys.
Whoa!
And it feeds it to its baby. And, like, you know how, like, a bird, like, pecks at something and rips it off?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, whatever. That's birds. But because this thing is so huge, it was kind of just like, oh, my God.
Like, you're taking out holes?
Like, he took this monkey's arm and gave it to his child.
Whoa!
Yeah, and, like, you see... The little fingers.
Oh!
And I'm like, oh!
Nature, please!
Yeah, it's like, oh my.
Birds are messed up. I listened to a podcast called Good Job Brain.
Yeah.
And they have an award for most asshole bird.
Yeah.
And there's some, like, asshole birds. There's, like, one that puts its eggs in other birds' nests. And then when, because that egg is bigger, but also hatches faster than the other breed.
Yeah, kills
then animals. Then that baby grows in that nest
yeah.
and eats the other babies yeah. through the egg. And I'm like, yeah. what an asshole.
Yeah, and then he gets fed by the parents.
Yeah, he gets fed by the parents and steals everybody else's food.
Yeah. That's
birds are dicks, man.
That's a dickish bird. But yeah, no, it's just nuts when you see birds eating that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Like
you always think of birds as like, oh, I'm picking like grain and shit.
Yeah,
there's grass.
There was a sad one where like a crocodile took a baby monkey,
okay,
or a baby chimp or something.
Yeah,
and the adult chimp got mad or something and started whacking the crocodile, so yeah. he let it go. But the baby was already dead.
Oh.
And so you just see this like huge monkey with one hand like holding a limp body.
Oh, and you're man.
Like, oh, that man. Sucks. Yeah.
Monkeys are strong too. I wonder what happened to that alligator.
Yeah, I mean, the alligator was fine. I guess he just wanted to be...
He's like, oh, nah, whatever. It's not worth it.
Like, get out of here. Yeah. Killer whales are assholes.
Yeah.
Saw one hunt a humpback whale.
Yeah, no, they're dicks, man. Holy they're killer shit. For a reason.
Yeah, that's why they got that name. And they're smart. Holy cow. Like they have this one scene where like this mom and this humpback are together. And like baby and mom, they're swimming along.
Yeah.
And the killer whales catch up and they're like, we're going to take your baby. and then out of nowhere, two more humpbacks come out. And they're like, we're going to protect.
Yeah.
And so then the two big dudes, they go off. And they chase them off.
Yeah.
But the killer whales are like, okay, chase us off. We're still faster.
Yeah.
And they double back.
Oh,
and they no! And they go for it. And they get the baby whale.
Dang.
And it's just like, damn.
That's crazy.
Yeah. That's...
What was the new one I heard? Dolphins are assholes.
Oh, yeah.
There was one in shallow water. What they'll do is that they'll surround a school of fish and pat their tails on the mud. And create up like a mud circle.
Yeah.
And when the circle closes off, the fish freak the fuck out.
Yeah.
And they jump.
But then
the dolphins are chilling. They're like, idiots. And they just eat the jumping fish. Yeah. Or jumping right into their mouths.
Yeah. One of my favorite ones is it's also killer whales. I think on like the southern coasts of Africa or South America. Baby sea lions.
Okay.
They have to be born on land,
mm-hmm.
but they stay on the beach before they learn how to swim.
Okay.
And as they're just like at the shore, like right where the water meets the sand, they just chill out there.
Okay.
Like they're curious about the water, and killer whales, they will just fully beach themselves and they'll just like missile dive onto the beach, mouths open, and they'll just swallow them whole.
Who is this?
Killer whales.
Killer whales will swallow...
Like baby sea lions.
Oh, baby sea lions. Okay.
Yeah, and it's just like, dang.
But like, I got my meal. How do I get back?
Yeah, and then you see this huge whale body just flipping out back to the water.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Bugs are cool.
Bugs are also devious.
There's this one spider I saw. There's a river, right? The river is... how far is the river? It's like 100 meters across.
Okay.
There's a spider. And it eats dragonflies that are in the middle of the lake.
Okay.
And you're like, how does it do that? Apparently it's actually somehow Spider-Man. It takes a web and it just shoots it into the air.
Yeah.
And the web rides on the wind current till it attaches to something on the other side.
Whoa!
And then it goes to the middle and it makes a big web right in the middle of the lake.
Whoa!
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's a lot of web, man.
That's a lot of web. And this thing is tiny. It's like, and they're like, yeah, scientists are baffled. How the fuck does it produce this much web so fast?
That's insane.
Yeah, and they're like, and they're like, it's super tough too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. The tensile strength on spider web is.
And they're just like, how does this happen? But yeah, it's a really good series. It came out at the end of 2015.
So it's called Hunted?
The Hunt.
The Hunt.
The Hunt with David Attenborough. The last episode is more about conservation, how all these predators are endangered now.
Okay.
Because of mass hunting and humans, and we're assholes.
Goddamn humans.
Because we're top of the food chain, you know.
Yeah.
We're hunting them.
What was the one thing I learned? So there's like this thing called a yin-yang fish. It's not an actual fish, you just eat it. Like this is how it's prepared.
Yeah.
So you grill the bottom half and then leave
the head?
The head alive.
Yeah.
And then you eat the raw. But I've learned that it's been scientifically proven that fish don't feel pain.
No.
Yeah. So, like, that makes that less shitty.
Yeah, so whenever you hook a fish, don't worry about it.
Yeah, no, it's like, it's fine. They're like, oh, man, I just can't move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, that's the number one thing I learned.
What?
Half of these animals don't actually kill their prey. They just start eating them.
Yeah, they're like, oh, you're here. Ah!
Yeah, like, I was watching a pack of, I guess, lions.
Yeah.
And they took down this huge bison, but they don't have the strength to kill it.
Yeah, so they just start eating it. They injure it, and then just start eating it. And I'm just like, there.
What the fuck?
Yeah, man.
And then you just hear this thing going,
animals are no joke.
And it's like, that's your heart.
You'll manage to see your insides. It's nuts.
So red.
so delicious.
Yeah, and then when you see the predators and they're all like, because like lines are like that cream color.
Yeah.
And they're just full all red when they're done. That's
the creepiest one is polar bears.
Yes.
When you see a polar bear like pull a walrus out of the water and then it's just red. It's like, whoa, so you turned into the devil.
That was one of the other ones they showed polar bears. They're like, polar bears have a tough time hunting and the thing.
Yeah.
And like the one shot they got was the walrus is on the side of the ice block.
Yeah.
Polar bear's chasing in the background.
Yeah.
Walrus sees the last second and jumps into the water.
Yeah.
Polar bear goes after it into the water. And then it's just silence. And then 5 seconds later, polar bear comes up. Blood everywhere. And this body comes up with him.
Yeah, polar bears are strong.
And I was just like, oh my God.
That's crazy.
That's nuts. And then the last one is the polar bear. He couldn't hunt in the water anymore because it's summer and he can't stand on the ice.
Okay.
So he goes to the birds and they're all on cliff faces. And this polar bear scales the cliffs. And like there's maybe thousands of birds on there, right? Okay. On the cliffside with nests.
Yeah.
And he goes to each and every nest and he takes the eggs and he just goes to town as if there were jars of honey and he's
wow. Wonderful.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And the birds can't do anything. They just watch.
They're like, well, what are we going to do?
And for the ones that are hatched, he's just like, even better.
Delicious. I got some meat now.
Ugh. Animals, man.
Yeah.
The hunt.
I guess I have an animal related story.
Go ahead.
A pick, I guess. A little late, but there was a science group in Japan.
Yep.
They learned how to hatch a chicken without the egg.
What?
So you break, you like they figured out a way to contain the egg and the yolk and everything and not need the shell.
Oh.
Yeah. So you can watch every single process the yolk and the egg goes through in forming a chick.
That sounds disgusting.
It's super gross, but it's super cool.
Oh, no, it sounds amazing. Yeah. But it's just like, that's disgusting. Like,
the simplest, it is way more complicated than this, but the simplest way I can put it is that they have a plastic cup that's see-through.
So like a see-through shell?
Yeah, like a see-through cup. And then they put like saran wrap over the cup with like a dip.
Oh my. Right?
And then they crack the fertilized egg into the cup.
Yeah.
And then they close the lid and they put it in a fridge. And then like they take it out after every couple days to see changes. So like after like 3 days, the yolk now has like a bunch of blood veins going through it.
Ugh.
And then like you see like a baby chick in like the with no skin. It's just all muscle and a giant eyeball.
Ugh.
Like in the yolk, and then like it keeps growing and growing. And then it just grows into a fully mature chick.
Yeah.
And it's just walking around like normal. It just doesn't have to hatch out of the egg.
That's so weird.
Yeah. Science is weird.
That's so weird.
So yeah, look it up. It's like a Japanese, I guess, just do the keywords. Japanese chicken with hatched without egg. Like,
yeah, I've seen a lot of animals hunt down eggs and stuff, and it's not a pretty one when they crack that shell.
No. No, especially at the certain time of whatever maturity it's at. Yeah.
Whoa. Gross.
So yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's disgusting.
Is that it for your week, I guess?
Yeah. Okay. That's it.
I've done a bunch of stuff, but a lot of it's real quick. Yeah. I went to see Neighbors 2. Okay. Actually, I went to see this like 2 weeks ago. I just forgot to talk about it last week.
It was good?
It's really funny.
Okay.
That was actually a sequel that I was surprised I enjoyed. Usually, I don't like sequels to comedy movies, but this one I enjoyed.
Better than the first?
Probably not.
All
right. Like the thing with the first is that it had that surprise factor. It had the whole like you don't know what to expect.
Yeah.
In this one, you kind of know what to expect. Zac Efron's back. All of his friends have graduated and moved on with their lives. But he hasn't. Like he got fired from Abercrombie & Fitch because they don't have the shirtless models anymore. And he doesn't know what to do with his life. And then the girl from Kick-Ass, I forget it, Chloe Grace Moretz.
Yeah.
She joins a sorority. She's new to school. And she realizes, or she learns from Selena Gomez, that sororities are not allowed to party. Like,
only
fraternities. And they go to the fraternity party. It's like, this place is really rapey. Like, we don't want to be here. We want to make our own fraternity that can party. Or our own sorority that can party. And so, they get the house that Zac Efron's old house was at.
Yeah.
And through a bunch of circumstances, Zac Efron helps them build up a sorority. Because he knows how to build a fraternity.
Yeah.
So he uses the same rules. And then it becomes another fight between the parents, Seth Rogen's family, and the college kids.
Yeah.
But then, like, some other stuff happens, and then Seth... or what's his face?
Zac Efron.
Zac Efron's character moves and changes sides.
Yeah.
And there's a whole bunch of stuff. There's a lot of really good like millennials versus older people jokes.
Yeah.
There was one in the trailer. It's not really spoilers where Chloe Grace Moretz is trying to steal their phones. He's like, I got your phone. And she's running and the cord pulls her back. She's like, what happened? It's a cord, dumbass. Stupid old people phones. And there's like a bunch of really funny stuff like that. Yeah, it was really good. I really enjoyed it.
Good stuff.
The other thing I did is that my friend let me borrow his Vita.
Uh-oh.
And I've been playing Persona 4 Dancing all night.
Ooh.
It's weird.
Yep.
Yeah, they're just like, hey, let's... You want, like, there's an actual story of, like, there's a great evil coming to destroy everything, and you have to dance! You have to dance!
Oh my god, that's really the story?
Yeah, it's really the story. Like, you just gotta dance.
Well. okay.
Yeah, and that's, like, honestly, it's a really simple rhythm game. It's triangle, circle, X, and up, left, down on the Vita. And then stuff comes in. There's hold buttons. There's simultaneous buttons. But there's also sometimes rings show up. Yeah. And you have to flick one of the control stick, and you, like, do, like, a DJ scratch.
Right.
And it's a really simple game. That's really all there is to it. You can get into a fever mode where in certain modes you call out one of your teammates and you do like a little duet dance number and stuff like that. The dances are really like well choreographed, I feel. Like, I know nothing about dancing, but it looks like really legit dancing.
Okay.
The only thing I have to say is that some of the remixes, so this is only Persona 4 songs. They don't dip into Persona back catalog. Yeah. It's not like a Final Fantasy theater rhythm.
Yeah.
Right. And some of those remixes are garbage.
Yeah, I have the soundtrack. Yeah. I think I only kept about 20% of the songs.
Yeah, like that. Yeah, like some of those soundtracks are garbage. And like some of them are, they're okay, but yeah, the whole soundtrack isn't the greatest. It's fine. That's all I've really been playing on the Vita, because everything else he has on his Vita is more of a like a time commitment.
Mm.
So I haven't really been doing that kind of stuff. And then the last thing I've been doing, the one I'm going to spend most of my time on, is Deception 4, The Nightmare Princess.
Ooh.
So this is a game that came out on the PS3 called Deception 4, Blood Ties. And if you don't know the Deception series, it is a Japanese series. It is a Japanese, I want to say, like, booby trap series.
Like, because that's a genre.
Yeah, that's a genre now. All right? It's okay. A booby trap genre. In this game, you play the daughter of the devil. And back in the day, the devil was chilling, and he's like, oh, just being the devil, destroying shit, taking people's souls. And then a bunch of people trapped him in a tablet.
Oh.
Right. And he's been trying to figure out how to get out ever since. And the tablet has been broken off, split into a bunch of pieces, and now the devil breaks off a part of his soul, creates his daughter, which is your player character.
Yeah.
And sends you and three of your minions to go get all the tablet pieces back so you can resummon the devil.
Okay.
So the whole game is you brutally murdering people in very elaborate ways so that you can resummon the devil to destroy the world.
Okay, I follow.
But the way you kill people is nothing but comical.
Okay.
So each of your lackeys controls a different style of trap. And one is an elaborate trap, one is a brutal trap, and one is a humiliating trap. And what you do is that you are the devil's daughter, you figure out ways to lure people to wherever you are. And so their goal is like, oh, we're gonna kill you, get a huge reward, and it's like, nah, actually, we brought you here, we're gonna brutally murder you.
Yeah.
And so they try and kill you while you're on the map, right? But while you're in it, you can set up traps. So each there's one big map, and each stage is one big map. But within that map, there are different rooms. And the rooms have different gimmicks to them. So, for example, the beginning room, it's a very small room with a main staircase. And at the top is a knight with a sword, like a stone knight.
Yeah.
And so what you can do is that while they're walking up the stairs, you can, like, trap them in a bear trap. They're stuck in place, and then you activate the stone statue, it drops the sword down on them.
Is that like a brutal?
Pardon?
Is that like a brutal?
Yeah, that would be, that one's more elaborate. Usually stage stuff is an elaborate trap, because you have to set it up. Brutal stuff is more like, Okay, on the wall, I summon a spike wall, and it literally just pierces you with 9 spikes and pulls you back into the wall.
Ouch.
Or, Ulstir, another wall example is, this thing shoots a buzzsaw.
Oh.
And the buzzsaw goes into, think of like, you know, in Mortal Kombat, when Kung Lao throws his hat at you,
yeah,
and you kind of get stuck in it for a bit and it like grinds on you.
Yeah.
It does that, but it carries you across the map.
Oh.
Right. So it's really brutal. And then humiliating traps are more like,
give you a wedgie.
almost. One is just a banana peel.
Oh.
Like you slip on a banana peel and like fall over.
Oh, okay.
Or another one is, you know, like medieval times where they would have those like wooden things where you put your neck and your arms in and you're publicly humiliated in front of the town. They have those. One is you drop a pumpkin head on a person and they, while it's stuck on their head, they walk forward blindly into whatever and they, until they take it off.
Yeah.
And how all this is determined is that it's a grid. It's a grid-based thing. So when you go into your trap mode, there's a huge grid on the map.
Ah.
And then you set your traps, and you want to combo your traps.
Mm.
So for example, let's go back to the knight. What I'll do is I will set up a wall trap to bring them in, drop a boulder on, then fling the... Use a springboard to fling the enemy while he's on the ground to in front of the knight.
Yeah.
Activate the trap. The knight hits them. They go flying down the stairs. But then you drop a boulder on the stairs and it rolls down and runs them over.
Ah.
Right?
I see.
Yeah. And then the trick here is that enemies also, they're always attacking you, but enemies can be immune to certain types of traps.
Mm.
So there's a ton of traps. But so for, like, say, a guy in a big suit of armor comes in. His armor is going to make him invulnerable to spike traps and snare traps. So like the bear trap and stuff. So you have to figure out a way to first get him trapped, then exploit his weakness so you can shatter the armor.
Ah.
And then they become vulnerable to whatever you want.
Okay.
Right. It's really fun. Like it's a very active puzzle game, I'll say.
Sounds like it.
If not brutal. My favorite stage trap so far is that in the first castle, there's like a courtyard area, an outside courtyard, and there's just a big robotic knight with a mace and a sword, and he's riding around a track on like a chariot. So what I did was I shot a guy with a buzzsaw, and he carried until he hit a part in the floor where I summoned the trap that he, like the public humiliation trap.
Yeah.
And then I had a swinging axe fall down from the sky, knock him into an area, and then the guy on the cart came by. The knight hit him with a mace, flinged him up in the air, and then it was like a cutscene combo almost, and then flinged him over to the fountain that was in the middle of the stage, and then they got impaled on the top of the fountain.
Oh, right? I see.
And then there's even more stuff you can do. You can capture enemies for bonuses. So in certain rooms, there'll be cages, and if you can elaborately throw them into the cage while they're low enough health, you can capture them and like steal their souls and stuff.
That makes sense.
Yeah. The Nightmare Princess version of this game, the PS4, the way the PS4 makes it different is that the Nightmare Princess mode is a quest mode. So
I see.
You have the Blood Tie stories from the PS3 game.
Yes.
But on top of it, you have a quest mode that has like over 200 quests.
Mm.
And each quest puts you in a different room. And makes you do different challenges to whatever enemy you're doing. Or to whatever enemy you're facing. And then also your traps get more elaborate as you unlock them. Like, one I saw... This one's a DLC one, but it's just a UFO.
Okay.
And it summons a UFO and you get abducted. And then, like... It sounds like some probing happens within the UFO, then you get dropped down. There's, like, Iron Maidens for brutal ones. And the traps just get more elaborate. There are some videos online of people doing, like... insane trap combos of like, I don't even know how you did this.
A lot of time.
Yeah. And there's also a lot of stuff of like, sometimes you'll just accidentally do sick combos.
Oh yeah, that's always fun.
Yeah. So like the one I did was I did the thing where I springboard into humiliation, buzzsaw into humiliation, into swinging axe.
Yeah.
And then they went into a stage hazard, which was an electrical chair. So they got shocked in the electrical chair, flew out of the chair like really high, and was coming back down to the spot in front of it. But the axe came back for a second swing and knocked them back into the electrical chair, which I didn't mean to happen. So they got hit and shocked twice. And then I springboarded them into a cage.
It looks
super cool. Like their whole point of this game is to make a Rune Goldberg machine to kill people.
Wow.
And it's really fun.
That sounds good.
Yeah. Not all of the people you kill are bad. Like sometimes, like they give you a every time you meet a new enemy in the level, they'll have like their opening monologue and you can read about their bio.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's like, this person just blindly follows whatever people order him to do because he just wants to be in the army. But other ones are just like, this girl was looking for apples in the forest and got lost. Kill her. And then in the next stage, some guy will come by and he's just like, his girlfriend got lost while she was looking for apples in the forest. Kill him. And like, so you just kill civilians and like... Like, you are literally the spawn of Satan. So,
that's good. So yeah. You're like Little Nicky.
Yeah, you're like Little Nicky. All
right.
It's really fun. I highly recommend it, especially since it just got a price drop, at least in Canada.
Okay.
So you can get it brand new at EB Games right now for 25 Canadian.
Ooh.
And there's hours of content in there. There's so much cool stuff. You can even, if you get way into it, you can create your own enemy types with armor and stuff you unlock. And you can create your own stages. And then you can upload those stages or download other people's stages.
Huh.
Yeah. There's a lot of content in this game. It's really fun. And actually, it's all I've been playing for the past, like, 4 days.
Wow.
So.
Addicted.
It's really good.
Cool.
It's really good. Yeah, but that's been my week. Like, I updated some Magic decks.
You didn't want to talk about your finale with Life is Strange?
Oh, I did do Life is Strange. I already forgot. So it's good that we saved this one till the end.
Yeah.
Do you want to, like, because I want to talk full spoilers about Life is Strange. Sure. Do you want to, like, officially end the podcast and then go into Life is Strange?
You know what? Life is Strange is an old game by now.
Okay.
I don't think it matters. We're probably the last two people to play it.
All right. That's fine.
But, I mean, if you guys want to, like, yeah, this is the end, essentially.
Yeah, this is the end, essentially. If, like, go check out our E3 stuff. That'll be on the YouTube page.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, like, I'm going to talk about Life is Strange.
Yeah.
Full spoilers.
All right.
Full warning.
All right.
So I beat it.
Good for you.
Finished Life is Strange.
Yeah, yeah.
So chapter one was very mundane. It's like, I got cool time powers. I'm going to use it to be social.
Yeah.
And like, this Nathan Prescott's a fucking madman.
Yeah.
Chapter two, it's like you get kind of more acquainted with Chloe and all this stuff. Chapter three and four are bonkers.
Yeah.
Chapter three has the cliffhanger at the end of you... fucked up time real hard.
Oh, yeah.
You are in an alternate reality.
Yeah.
Check it out. Chloe's dad's alive. Also, Chloe's in a wheelchair. Yeah. And just, like, paralyzed whole body. And it's like, what? Yeah, that game goes places that I kind of don't expect it to go.
Yeah.
So, for example, the one big one that I didn't expect to actually see is the conclusion of Rachel Amber.
Oh.
I didn't think she would actually just be dead.
Oh, no?
Yeah, I thought she would, like, they would find her, and then they would, like, oh, I have all this information, we gotta find out who the true killer is, right?
Yeah.
But you just find her dead and buried in your home turf.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And then just, like, other things of, like, I did not see Mr. Jefferson being the killer. I really thought that Nathan Prescott was going to be... Like, I know you said you saw it
coming. I always saw it from the beginning, but, like, I only knew it because of how... How do I put it? How much focus... Or how little focus there was on him. Like, it seemed like the story writer or the screenwriter was purposely making it so that he would be super trusting. Like, he's playing that role.
Yeah, he's your cool guidance counselor.
And I feel like that's always a bad sign.
Okay.
Yeah.
There was that one line in the first chapter. He's like, and Max, yes, I see you pretending not to see me.
Yeah.
Like, and it was like, okay, like, you're a little, trying to be a little too, like, hey, teenagers, how's it going? But I never expected him of, like, I want to take you to my dark room. Right?
Yeah.
How he manipulated Nathan to, like, take his fortune and build that bunker.
Yep.
That was cool.
Mm-hmm.
I really just thought that was Nathan's bunker.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was like, because Nathan, when you break into Nathan's room in chapter four, I believe.
Yeah.
He's decked out with a bunch of high-tech camera shit.
He is, yeah.
So, like, it wasn't too far of a stretch for me to be like, okay, like, he's just a nutcase now. Like, his family ignores him all the time. Everybody only wants to be friends with him because he's rich. And he doesn't know where he is. Like, he's just going nuts, right? Yeah. I thought he just had this sick safe room.
Yeah.
But turns out it was Mr. Jefferson just manipulating him the whole time. And he kills Nathan. Like, the part where you're strapped to the chair and he's like, what happened to Nathan? It's like, oh, he's been dead for a while. Like, I fucking murdered him, like, yeah. So long ago. Come on, man. Yeah, the way Mr. Jefferson portrays himself as a crazy person is really creepy. There was a couple lines where he's like, you have the choice of choosing, like, what insult you want to say. He's like, I chose, like, I'm sick of hearing your voice.
Yeah.
And then he was just like, well, you might as well savor it since it's the last one you're going to hear. Like, or the other one was, nosebleeds seem like a first world problem since I'm going to kill you. Right? And stuff like that. I'm like, man, that's some, like, psychopathic lines to pull out there. But yeah, I really enjoyed this game. I really, really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
We looked at each other's choices.
We did.
So why did you say that? Like, why did you want nothing to do with Warren?
Because I didn't think... Okay, I played the character as if I was Max. And I'm like, if I were a girl, would I find this archetype of a fellow interesting? Like, someone I would want to date? No. But if I were a dude and I wanted to be his friend... Sure.
You want to bro out with
Warren. Yeah, I have a thing like, yo, you're a totally cool dude. Let's hang out. Let's have fun. But as a male specimen, that does not attract me.
Okay.
That, and as the further and further you get into this game, I got these, like, lesbian vibes with Chloe, and I'm like, that's what the love story is.
You thought it was with Chloe?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was the love story.
I always took it as... So, I also played as Max, and when I was like, Warren, you're adorbs. I'm gonna date you, right? And but I made Warren do some, like, some amount of messed up shit to prove his, like, love to me. Like, the part where after you break into Nathan Prescott's dorm, he shows up with a gun, and then Warren, like, just beats him up.
Yeah.
You have the choice to either pull him off,
yeah,
or to let Warren just beat the shit out of Nathan Prescott. Yeah. I made him beat the shit out of Nathan Prescott.
Oh.
Like, I just watched, and, like, it's uncomfortable. The amount of beating that Nathan gets, it's unnerving. Because you know all the information with his parents and, like, all that other stuff. It's like, I chose it mainly because that choice gets you his gun. So he doesn't have the gun anymore.
Wow. Wow.
But Leah, he brutally beats the shit out of Nathan. Like, it's messed up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, I was just like, man, like, so at the diner in the last chapter, I kissed him.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah. You just ignored him, right?
I was part of that 2%. I was like, fuck affection.
All right, bye, peace.
Yeah. Like, yeah. See ya. See ya when I see ya.
Yeah, so for Chloe, at least, I thought it was just, like, you're a bunch of teenagers, and you're, like, real close to being in college, and, like, this is, like, experimentation time. And Chloe's, like, the punk girl who will literally try anything.
Yeah.
So I took it as that kind of...
I don't know. See, that whole experimentation thing, I've always only ever heard that in fiction.
Yeah, and this is fiction.
No, but I thought they're trying to play this as a real thing.
Oh, okay.
And, like, because you know what? I grew up with a lot of female friends. And maybe, and obviously, like, they're a specific group of female friends. So, yeah. Like, they don't speak for everyone. But, like, none of them ever did that sort of thing. So I never thought of that as an actual possibility.
Oh, okay. So, like... The people I've been hanging out with recently
is
a lot different than the people I used to hang out with.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, I have heard stories of them being like, yeah, like, I kissed my friends in college and stuff and trying to do that kind of stuff. Yeah. So, like, I took it as a possibility.
Yeah. Like, I don't know, though, like, the way they were acting, like, Max and Chloe, I never took that as experimentation. I felt like it was always...
like tension?
Know. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I always, like, there was always feelings there. Oh. Especially from Chloe's side, and Max always was questioning herself on it.
Yeah. I took that strictly as, like, they're just, like, best friends. And then the kissing part I took as, haha, I'm gonna test you. And I'm like, you can't test me. I'm gonna call your bluff. And then I kissed her.
Mm.
Yeah.
I was talking about the end.
Oh, the very end.
Yeah.
So, okay. I sacrificed Chloe.
Yeah.
Right? I thought, from what I got from my ending originally, was that Chloe has this, like, sense of guilt for basically being alive.
Yeah.
Though I kind of saw that ending choice coming because the whole game is you fucking up time to save her.
Yeah.
Right? And then shit gets more fucked up and she dies in more elaborate ways.
Yeah.
And it builds.
Yeah.
So, like, at some point, I was just like, no, I'm going to have to kill her in some way.
Yeah.
If not, like, just straight up murdering her.
Yeah.
Or just letting Nathan shoot her.
Yeah.
Right. But after I saw, I immediately went on YouTube and watched the other ending.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
Because I was just like, I gotta know. Like, yeah. I gotta know what the other ending is. And that ending is, like, mad lesbian tension. Like, this is, like, we're holding hands, watching everyone we love
die. Yeah, that's the lesbian thing vibe. I, for me, the lesbian thing only came together at the end. When I totally forgot about the whole kissing in her room.
Yeah, okay.
I didn't know you were talking about that. But, yeah, at the end, I thought, this is total lesbian vibes. So...
Oh. I only got the lesbian vibe in the actual ending. Like, even before the ending up to the choice, I was still like, okay, Chloe is just like, she can't bear her mom, like, taking the brunt because Max is fucking up time. And, like, all these people don't deserve to die, keep me alive and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, we were talking about it earlier. This adventure game makes the Telltale games look super tame and very poorly constructed in comparison.
Yes.
It still follows the same roadmap of start the chapter, choices let you branch out within the chapter, but then eventually it closes in again and it funnels, like, here's the end point and then here's the funnel to the start point of the next chapter.
Yeah.
Right? But their ability to hide the unimportance of
the actual choices. Well, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that the choices aren't, like, in Telltale, it's either A or B.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, save this guy or save that guy.
Yeah.
In here, it's always more, like, the choices that they make, they're all a mix of good and bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I think...
And sometimes there's choices with, like, four different outcomes.
Yeah, and I think that's why it works. Because they, even if they give you three options, each of those options have their good sides and bad sides that, how can I explain it? They have, different permutations on the story. And, like, you can tell these things have been carried through chapter to chapter.
Yeah.
Versus, I remember, like, one of the big disappointments with the original Walking Dead one was, I think you have to, like, early on you make a decision to save A or B character.
Yeah, in the convenience store.
But then in the next scene, they die anyway.
Yeah.
So it didn't matter
who
you chose. Yeah.
Yeah, and you would think that it would be harder for them to write it in this game because you can immediately make any decision you picked null and void just because you can rewind time. Like, it's the nature of the story.
Right.
And there are a lot of points where they do that. Like, oh, does me being mean to Victoria even matter anymore if I'm in this alternate reality with paralyzed Chloe?
Yeah.
Or, like, they could have ended the game at paralyzed Chloe because it's like, okay, Joyce and the husband are alive. Chloe's dead. And I just chill in this reality, right?
Mm.
But yeah, obviously, if they do that, there's no game. There's no story, right? Because, like, that's kind of where I wanted the game to end was, like...
Well... Okay, how did you feel about the storm? Like, this impending... Like, I know they introduced it at the beginning, but it's like, doesn't that just feel a little weird?
It's very cliche
messing
with time.
Yeah.
Of, like... It's the butterfly effect. And it's very bluntly beaten over you. Even in the final chapter of the game, Max is literally wearing a shirt with a butterfly on it.
Yeah.
Right? And so, like, it's... I don't know. I thought that was very cookie cutter.
Yeah, I didn't like that part.
Yeah,
like, that was... That whole aspect.
But... I don't know, like, that. It wasn't bad enough for me to be like, the rest of this game wasn't enjoyable. Yeah. I really thought it does pick up chapter 3 and on.
Yeah.
But chapter 1 and 2 are so important for making the next chapters feel like they do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wish the game had, like, for the seriousness of the topics, I wish the art style followed that.
It followed it in terms of I am an art student.
Yeah.
Right? It was very artsy.
Yeah.
Like, again, we were talking about, if you listen to our EA podcast, we're talking about Fee.
Yeah.
Where it's, like, kind of big blocky polys.
Yeah.
That's kind of what was happening in this game, too.
Yeah. I wish, like, it was just a bit more grounded, maybe a little bit more polish.
Yeah. Like, what was it? All the pictures that you see, they're all, like, it looks like hand-painted.
Yeah.
Like, with a brush.
Yeah.
And it is a certain style, and the severity of some of your choices do, like, a little bit take away, but...
Yeah. So you didn't... You played this with someone.
Yeah, I did.
How did they find it?
They really enjoyed it. We actually...
You chose the decisions together?
No. I chose the decisions.
That's right. That's
because right. If we left it up to my friend,
yeah,
she would never make a decision ever.
Oh, okay.
Okay. We would still be on the first chapter.
Oh, okay.
I tried to get her... The one decision she did make was to be mean to Victoria in chapter one when she got all the paint on her.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm going to be nice to her. And she's like, no, Victoria's a bitch. Fuck her. And then I was like, all right. And I was like, oh, I mean, I regret that decision. And then, wow. So yeah, we took the picture of her when she was covered in paint or whatever.
Yeah.
And then the final decision was she really wanted to... just sacrifice the town for Chloe because she
and you didn't
I didn't because yeah. She thought it was like if I were Max and this was my best friend,
yeah,
right, and it were my true best friend, like without a shadow of a doubt this is my best friend,
yeah.
Would do actually anything for them.
Okay.
And then I like looked her straight in the eye and I'm like, I would sacrifice my best friend. And she's like, what the fuck?
You know, but I think it comes down to, like, what type of best friend you have. Because, like, for example, if it came down to that, like, between us,
yeah.
I would be like, Anthony, you know my role. You know my motto, man. Needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. Kill me, motherfucker!
Yeah, because that's, like, who you are, right?
Yeah.
And it's smart the way they did Chloe at the end, which is she knows what she thinks she should do,
yeah.
But she's never too sure. Like, she gives you this look like... Like, you probably should save everybody else, but, like, I really want to live. Like, I really want to live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, that must have been interesting.
Yeah, it was. It was very interesting. So that was the reason I immediately watched the other ending.
Yeah, okay. Because
I picked the ending that I wanted, and she's like, I don't want that ending. I want the other ending. And then we looked at it, and she's like, oh, I like the other ending better. I like the first one better.
Oh. Yeah.
Like, with the funeral and everything. And like,
yeah. It was nicer.
Yeah. I don't know if it was nicer.
Oh, it was nicer.
Like, because there was the thing in the Chloe Lives ending where it's just like, so does play a big part in this game.
Oh, yeah.
Like, metaphorically.
Yeah.
Right? And so originally the ghost doe is supposed to represent Rachel Amber. And the doe is kind of leading you towards where her body is, right?
Yeah.
After the tornado hits... out of the town and it's all fucked. There are a bunch of does in that town and you're like,
that's
nope.
Creepy.
Those are all dead people. And then you actually just leave the town. Like you just drive away.
Smart.
Like you
never
like,
return. Never.
Everyone's dead. And then you just drive away.
Yeah. Never return.
In your shitty truck with all the fucking writing on it.
That's good. I like that.
Yeah. But yeah, needless to say, like, this game is worth your time.
Yeah, it's fun. It's good stuff.
Did it come out this year or last year? Or did it finish this year?
I think it finished last year.
Okay.
I think it finished last year around this time of the year, actually.
Oh, okay. Wow, it's been a while.
Yeah. Because it came out on console early this year.
Okay.
Huh. And then it only went free sometime after that.
All right, okay. I didn't... Was it free?
It was free.
Oh.
Did you buy it?
I bought it.
Oh.
I got the limited edition.
Oh.
Yeah, no, I have the game disc, I have the art book, and I have the soundtrack.
Yeah, it's PlayStation Plus.
Oh.
That's why. You thought you thought I bought that?
Yeah, I thought you bought it.
No.
I didn't know it was free.
It was free.
Huh. Weird.
I mean, it's $20.
I paid $45.
Well, you bought a disc.
I did buy. I bought a disc and a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
And I am more than happy with my purchasing price.
Yeah. Yeah.
That game is fantastic.
Yeah, it's great. It's good. Max.
It. I don't know what I'm gonna like. If there's so the only really Telltale game I want to play is like a Fables 2, right? With Bigby Wolf.
Yeah.
But if they're still sticking to that same formula, like I don't know.
Yeah, you gotta look elsewhere.
Yeah, I might pick up Tales of the Borderlands because I heard that's really funny. But I think this game might have ruined me on like choice adventure games, choice style adventure games. I think it is the best one that I played.
Mm.
Like better than The Walking Dead, better than Episode 2 of The Walking Dead, better than Fables.
Yeah,
yeah,
sounds good. We all enjoyed it. Good.
Yeah, it's really good.
Good. That's it for this one then.
Peace out.
See ya next week.
Well, see you soon, actually. E3 time, bud.
Yeah, I'm just debating how we're releasing these.
I don't know.
For all they know, they've already listened to all the E3 stuff.
True.
Yeah.
You don't want to do it as we record it, or?
Well, the E3 stuff is going up immediately.
Yeah.
But I'm just thinking, like, do I want to put up a regular show in between the E3 stuff?
True.
Or do I want to just leave till after?
We could.
Yeah, speaking about the release schedule on air. Okay. How professional of us.
Word.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Watch anime.
No.